Well, Merry Christmas. I'm so glad to be able to gather this evening to celebrate the birth of our Christ. This is a time of the year when we tend to focus on certain things, family and friends and gifts. And there's nothing really wrong with that. That has its place. But we must continually recalibrate to maintain that Jesus is the reason for the season. In fact, he's the reason for all things. And God's gift is the greatest gift one can ever imagine. And this evening I want us to consider one of the more popular verses in Scripture. That's going to be John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 16 through 20. I'm going to go ahead and read through 21, though. If you're using a Pew Bible, then that can be found on page 888. And I encourage you to have a Bible open with you as we work through this wonderful passage. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. We're just going to read these verses, and then we're going to just ask a few questions about these verses. So, once you are there, I invite you to stand in honor of reading God's holy and living word. Hear the word of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Well, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Would you be seated as we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we have together. I thank you for your word. I pray that as we work through this wonderful passage, that you open our eyes and open our hearts, give us understanding. I pray that through this, that we are transformed to be more like Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, I just want to ask you a few questions as we, or answer a few questions as we work through this passage together, just real quickly. The first question we have to ask is, what is God's gift? Well, it's his only Son. We see that right off in the first verse there in verse 16. That God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son. So God's gift is the greatest gift that one could ever imagine. So we know that he gave the gift of his Son, but who is this Son? Well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is the Son. The Son was always with the Father, but God's gracious gift was to give him to us, to give him to the world. And so who is the Son? Well, we see in John 1:1, we see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14 of that same chapter continues on to elaborate of who this Son is, who is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus is the eternal Word that made flesh. Who is the Son? Jesus is the Son of God. And so why did the Father give this gift of His Son? Well, the text tells us, doesn't it? It tells us God so loved the world. Love is what compelled the Father to give His Son. Love motivated the Creator to give. Romans 5:8 says, "God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5 says, "Because of this great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." The Father gave because the Father loves. And so what did this giving entail? Well, ultimately it involves the cross. It is the cross. Giving over to death on the cross. Jesus' birth had a purpose. It was to give Him a body that was capable of dying. Dying in the place of sinners like you and me. He took the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of man. He was found in human form. And He humbled Himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death on the cross. God so loved the world. And this word here that we see here, "so," for God so loved the world, is not what it really seems, though. It's not talking about the measure of God's love, that God loved us so much. It's not a measuring word. It's more of a manner word. It's a means word more than it is a measuring word. It means it's a method, it's a manner word, not a greatness word. And so the word is normally translated in this way. And so God loved the world in this way. He gave His only Son so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. This love motivated God the Father to send the Son, to die a substitutionary death on the cross. And so what are they giving? What does this giving entail? It ultimately is the Father giving of His own Son. The ultimate gift of God in Christ is Christ crucified in the place of sinners. Listen to how John puts it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, where he says, "In this the love of God was made manifest." It was displayed, it was shown among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we had loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God manifests itself in the gift of the Son, ultimately to die on the cross. The love of God is made manifest in Him, giving His own Son. Now this word in that passage there, the propitiation for sins, that's a big word, but it just means that the sacrifice satisfied the wrath of God. And that's what we need. We needed that. Our biggest problem is our sin. As sin causes God to be wrathful towards us. And out of love, God gives His Son to be that sacrifice that satisfies His own wrath. Have you ever thought about what God saves us from? God saves us from Himself, from His wrath. He took the wrath instead of us. But how do we receive this gift? Well, what does it say? Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We receive the gift of eternal life through faith, through believing, through trusting in Him. We come to Him with empty hands. The empty hands of faith is how we receive this gift of eternal life. And what's the result of receiving the gift? Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The result is that you will not perish. You won't die spiritually. The reality is we all die physically. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. The payment of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So do you want to escape death? Yes, you do. You do want to escape death. Everybody wants to escape death. Jesus is the only way. Death had no claim on Him. Therefore, death has no claim on His people. And again, this is one of our greatest needs. All people think about death. All people fear death. We fear the results of death. Think about the various phobias out there. All the various phobias are ultimately the fear of death. Right? Think about it. We have a fear of heights. Why? We're afraid of falling to our death. We're afraid of spiders. Why? We're afraid that we'll get bit and die. Why are people scared of drowning? Because they're afraid that they'll drown to death. Why are people scared of cancer? Well, because often it is terminal. Claustrophobia, because you may get squeezed to death. Germophobes, you may catch a disease and die. Storms, because a tornado may kill you. Sharks, they might eat you and you die. And so we're fearful of things because ultimately we fear death, the idea of death, what happens after death. But the gift of God is ultimately overcoming that death, the last enemy, the conquering of death. Hebrews 2, verse 14, speaks wondrous of this. It really sums up the meaning of Christmas. Listen to what it says. Since therefore the children, that's us, the children, share in flesh and blood, so we have bodies, we have flesh and blood, He Himself, in Christ, likewise partook of the same thing. In other words, Jesus took on flesh and blood. He partook the same thing that we are, because we are human, He became human. So why did Jesus come? Why did the Word become flesh? Hebrews says, so that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So every single human being during the whole life is in slavery to the fear of death. And so one of the reasons of Christmas is to free us from that fear. The fear was defeated by the Christ, who defeated the one who has power over death, the devil, through the death of Christ. So no death, therefore no fear of death. Merry Christmas. This is why we sing, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. The gift of God is the conquering of death. No death, no fear of death. And John goes on and tells us no condemnation. Look at verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. If anyone is in Christ, there is no condemnation, no judgment, ultimately no death, but eternal life when you trust in Christ. When you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, your guilt is removed, and you receive eternal life. That is unending life. Talk about the gift that keeps on giving. Never-ending life with God. That's the important part, right? Everlasting life, never-ending life, it doesn't really appeal to us that much. But never-ending life in the presence of God, that's a life. In Boot Hill Graveyard in Tombstone, Arizona, there is a tombstone for a man by the name of Les Moore. And I don't think his friends really mourned his going, because on his tombstone it reads, "Here lies Les Moore, no less, no more." And so maybe that was true about Les Moore, but it is not true for those who have Christ. When we die, we will be more alive than we have ever been. But many refuse this gift. So what happens if you refuse this gift? Well, look again at verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So if you do not believe, you are condemned. Why are you condemned? Because you have sinned against a holy God. All sin is first and foremost against the holy God. This is why David prayed in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Everything that we do, every time we sin, that is sinning against God, a holy God. And so, friend, if you are not a follower of Christ, you need to know that you stand condemned. You have sinned against a holy God. And your greatest need is forgiveness. In fact, look at the way the chapter ends in chapter 3, all the way at the very end. Verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So if you deny this gift, if you do not trust in Christ, condemnation, death, and ultimately the wrath of God is on you. So why? Why do people not receive this gift? I mean, it seems like such a no-brainer. Shouldn't everybody just receive this gift? We just believe in him? Look at John chapter 3, verse 19. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." So why don't all people just receive this gift? In short, because they don't want to. They don't like the light. Their desires are bent towards darkness. They don't want to come to the light. And it's not like mankind is just groping around in the dark trying to desperately to find the light switch. No, it's that they shut off the breaker. They're happy where they are. Any sunlight or anything like that that comes in the bottom of crack of the door, they're shoving a towel under there, lest their wickedness be exposed. And what's the goal of God's gift of His Son? Let's read verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. The goal of God's gift of His Son is to save the world. What's the world? Well, the world is the present created order that is in rebellion against its Maker. And the goal of God's gift of His Son is the salvation of this world, the redemption of the cosmos. That's why we love to sing Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive its King. He rules the world with truth and grace. Oh, the wonders of His love. We're celebrating the cradle, but the cradle led to the cross and ultimately to the crown. He was born a virgin. He lived, He taught, He died, was raised, and now He was then he was enthroned at the right hand of the Father. And so Jesus is taking back what is rightfully His. He is restoring His rule of the world, drawing His people to Himself. Christmas is God's invasion plan. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. A new world is birthed with the birth of Christ. God's invasion of history, taking it back. That's why He came. That's what He came for. He came to save the world. Now this, of course, does not mean that He came to save every single person, that every single person will be saved. We see that in the very context that there is condemnation and wrath. But it's that the scope of the salvation is the whole world. There is no other Savior for the world other than Christ. He is the only one. And He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. I think His plan is much grander than we often appreciate. He came to reconcile all things, to make all things new. The goal of Christmas is the redemption of the world. God's gift is the greatest gift anyone can ever imagine. But note that this is a conditional statement, is it not? He gave His only Son that whoever believes, that's a condition, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You must believe in order to receive this gift. And the Scripture says, "Turn to Me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." And so, friend, if you're here tonight and you do not know Christ, He's calling out to you today to come to Him, to believe in Him, to receive this gift of everlasting, eternal life in the presence of Him. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for Your greatest gift. So often we forget what a privilege it is, the fact that You sent Your Son in order to pay the price, to die the death that we deserve, so that we might be saved. This is truly a gift that we cannot comprehend. But we rejoice in it, not only tonight and tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas, but each and every day. I pray, Father, that if there's anybody here this evening that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that you open their hearts. Show them their need for a Savior. Don't let them leave here tonight without running to Christ, repenting of their sins, turning from their sins, and coming to Him as their Lord and Savior. And it's in His holy name we pray. Amen.